Live from the podcast studio, this is From Long Distance to Marriage with Rich and Andrea. We're a once long distance couple who closed 5,000 miles of distance and are now happily married.
We talk long distance, marriage and relationships.
Hi everyone, welcome to episode 96 of From Long Distance to Marriage. This week we have some special guests. We're joined by Ziv and Sahar of the Generous Marriage podcast. And this is one that's aimed more at husbands and men, I guess, in relationships, but women may find it very helpful and may want to pass it along to their partner. But we talk a lot about how men can manage kind of their jobs and business as well as their relationships, how prioritizing can actually be an issue, and just kind of on men emotionally educating themselves, which is really important. So we hope you enjoy this episode, and we'll obviously have in the show notes information about where you can learn more about Generous Marriage podcast. Ziv and Sahar also offer the Get Out of Red 21-Day Blueprint for a Supportive Marriage and a Growing Business. So this is help for men to be a success in their marriage and in their professional life, helps them to have a more successful marriage and earn more money. And you can click the link in the show notes to find out how to get that.
Okay, so we are very pleased today to be joined by Ziv and Sahar from the Generous Marriage podcast. Guys, I'm going to hand over to you two to give an introduction and let our listeners know what you do and what you talk about.
So, hi everyone. Thank you so much for listening. And thank you, Andrea and Rich, for having us here on this important show. We think that relationships is important and we live our lives with the Generous Marriage podcast, trying to help people reconnect. And I love how Sahar tells it. It's like, falling in love again, something that he's really good at, helping people like really get rid of all of the bad vibes that happen naturally in any relationship after a few years. I come from the world of business personally. I'm a married man with three kids, and I've been experiencing, traveling away for business purposes for my family and reconnecting and stuff like that. And in the Generous Marriage podcast, what we try to do is share all sorts of tools of how people can live their lives in a more generous way towards each other. And as a side result, one of the things that really improves better, is business. You get to be way more focused on getting results when you feel supported. Sahar, what do you think? What do we do?
Well, I love how someone said that we're two men with accents geeking about relationships. I think that's very true and very unique. Relationships are important for both of us. I'm a marriage and family therapist, and I work mainly with couples. So I know the challenges of long-term relationships from a professional standpoint. And I'm also married, and I've been with my wife for 15 years now. So I know it from a personal level. And as a couples therapist, a lot of the work I do is actually psychoeducation. It's actually education about relationships. And a lot of that can be done through podcasts and online resources. So this is a lot where we join forces, Ziv and I, and spread. We give a lot of really important information for free, and some of it you can buy in the Generous Marriage Academy. So I think we're doing something important.
Absolutely.
Yeah, brilliant.
And so your podcast, Generous Marriage, so I guess obviously you work with couples, you work with families, but one of the things you focus on is kind of talking to men or husbands about kind of their role. Can you just tell us a little bit about your focus on that?
Well, there's a lot of research that couples are happier where the man has a higher understanding of relationship and a higher emotional intelligence. Because women are more, I'm really generalizing right now, but most women are more adept to relationship. They're just more attuned to that. And men can learn that, but society doesn't really teach us how to do that. So I think there's a new kind of men coming into the world that want to be more in touch with relationships and want to be more in touch with their children. And so I think this is us, and this is the kind of men we talk to, that people that understand that they need to invest more in their relationship so they can live happier and have a fuller life.
Do you think there are commonalities, you know, with the men that you talk to, maybe that we do wrong or maybe we're unaware of? Because as you said, you know, maybe we're not quite so taught about how to go into relationships. Are there commonalities that, that men should be trying to think of when they're going into relationships?
Well, I think a big one is that, I don't know if it's only men, but generally people, I think there's a myth that relationship or marriage should just happen naturally and organically.
Yeah.
And that might have been true years ago when marriage was held from the outside by society and by the extended family. And there were structures that, you know, it was shameful to get a divorce. These days, society is so individualistic that it's actually the other way around. In a sense, society is kind of telling you, it's hard, let go, you know, be happy. And we think it's a myth. These days, if you want to live a happy long-term relationship, you have to invest in it daily. Dr. John Gottman says something that we love, small things often. Relationship is about doing a lot of small things all the time for each other, with each other. It takes a lot of maintenance. And then relationships, long-term relationship can be very fulfilling. The parts of the brain that light up when we fall in love can stay lit up for decades. You can stay in love with your partner for decades. But it does take intention and attention and time together.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's so important. I think, you know, you're talking about kind of generalizing earlier that women typically are a little bit more natural at the relationship side of things. And that may be different in some relationships. Maybe in one relationship, the man's better at that. But whatever it is, it can't be one-sided. And I think that's so important that one person can't play God in the relationship and keep things going. So it's those little things from both people that, that really make such a huge difference.
So, you know, I want to move on to the business side of the conversation a little bit. So, Ziv, can you talk a little bit about how men may prioritize business and then, you know, the consequences when they do that?
It's actually related to what Andrea just said, which is that the men's role has evolved these days into a role which is a complicated role. He needs to provide a lot of different things, his own personality, safety, you know, being a lover and being caring. And the way to summarize it all up is to be a partner. So the partnership between two people, and it can be, you know, any two people that are in a partnership, in a loving partnership, it is something that requires attunement. You need to turn towards your partner. You need to understand their needs. And when it comes to business, it just, like, business is a very complicated thing to maintain on top of your relationship. And a lot of men prefer focusing on that because it's actually emotionally easier to focus on your business. It is very rewarding because you can get all sorts of appreciation and words of affirmation and money, and you see the results faster. And you know, the relationship is different, so you don't get all those I don't know, like faces when you're doing something wrong or criticism of sorts on day to day life, which can happen in any relationship, especially long term. And as a result, men tend to prioritize their work and their businesses and forget a little bit about the other stuff in life. Or they would say that family is first, but they don't really do it in day-to-day. They don't really take action. And what I find about prioritizing anything is that it doesn't really work. So if you constantly are fighting for guessing like who's the top priority, right? Fighting for that spot, who is the top priority? That's going to be like just a lose-lose situation. If your spouse is constantly trying to check if she's the top priority or the kids are top priority or business is the top priority, all three of them are going to lose, and the husband or the spouse will be fighting like an uphill battle. Instead, I believe that all of them are important. In fact, like the business person's body is important. He has to take care of his fitness. His own self, his feeling of his own being is important. He needs to feel like he's a meaningful part of this world, that he is a contribution, that he has a gift for this world. And so his family is very important. His kids, his wife are super important. And of course, his business, all of them are tied together into one mesh and affect each other. So if you are frustrated from your marriage daily because you fight a lot, it actually sinks in and affects your decision-making in every other element, including you, like you eat less healthy, you exercise less often. And it is also true for the other direction, the other momentum, which is if you take good care of yourself, if you care about your relationship, if you put in the efforts of learning how to do that, of tuning in, of investing, constantly investing into the relationship's connection bank account, that will actually help you with finding energy for other stuff like exercising or like working on your business. So I think that it's not a fair game to play the priority game. Instead, you need to work on all of these key areas of life because they're intertwined.
So it's about kind of finding balance rather than trying to prioritize one thing over the other to make it all work, really, which I think we're all guilty of. Mm. We all try and prioritize something we really want to focus on. And thinking back on times where I've done that with different aspects, you can see that other areas suffered as they inevitably would do.
Right. We have limited resources and sometimes we have more things we need to invest in than resources. But generally, part of what we teach in the Generous Marriage podcast is creating a life full of habits that are good, that are, you know, self-care and relationship care. And we're less focused on that, but also business care. Or that's more Zivi's side, I would say. Mm-hmm. So, for example, Zivi and I, we exercise together 3 times a week. And I have a date night weekly with my wife. And I know Ziv has with his wife. And we have all sorts of habits that help us find the resources and the time to make sure that we touch base with these priorities as much as possible.
Yeah, we're big fans of date night, and we talk a lot on our podcast about we have something called favorite night, where it's kind of like date night, but one person is kind of more about them. They, you know, they get to have their favorite foods, their favorite film or whatever, and then we rotate that so we both get it equally, but it's just one night where one person doesn't have to do anything
and everything's catered for what they like most.
Dinner's cooked for them, the dog, they haven't got to feed the dog that night, like and then you know, a few weeks later on it's the other one's turn, and we kind of intersperse that with more typical date nights too, you know. So we're big fans of that and making that time and being intentional.
Beautiful. I love that.
That's sweet. I love it too. It's a great idea.
Do it. Take it. And it's good during lockdown too, when maybe you can't go out and do the bigger, exciting dates. You can find a film. And it also shows for both of you that you've been listening to maybe what your partner said. If your partner said, like, oh, I really fancy this certain meal, or I really want to watch that movie. Do you remember that movie? Then you make notes of that. And then when it's your turn to plan the night for them, it's like, oh, I remembered you said that. And that's what we're having or we're doing tonight. So it's a great thing. But so as you know, a lot of our listeners are long distance. That's a huge kind of part of our listener base. And so with kind of the business side of things, which you touched on earlier, Ziv, that can mean a lot of travel, you know, if particularly if someone started their own business or their job means they travel a lot. How can couples who aren't really long distance but might experience long distance because of business travel, you know, how can that be managed, and what can couples do to make that easier?
So it actually all goes down to planning and the execution of it. So this is really similar to stuff that we talked with you guys back on the Generous Marriage podcast about how by communicating in advance on how things will work, it really is meaningful. And I remember many of these traveling that I did where I will first synchronize with my wife how often we will chat on like WhatsApp or whatnot, or how often we'll do a video call. And we will check with the time differences, because it's really surprising for some reason when you're already there to realize that there's only a little bit of an overlap. And it sometimes, you know, sometimes one of the sides needs to stay awake longer. I try to make sure that I, when I'm traveling, that I wake up in a time that will fit my family needs, and that we can do those daily touch points as much as possible. Sometimes it's impossible because of the schedule, but we definitely try our best. And it's a matter of prioritization, really, putting in the time into your calendar, into your daily calendar to reconnect. There's also like for like 2 weeks type of traveling, I would usually ask my partner about like what would she like me to bring back as a souvenir of sorts, and for the kids' presents and stuff like that. And that will make it easier for the kids, because they can talk for 2 weeks about what daddy will bring back. But I think the hardest part is when you're coming back, because it's almost like at the beginning, it's two different, I wouldn't say strangers, but it feels cold. It feels like you can't really behave as if nothing happened. And that's when reconnecting and turning back towards each other, turning towards each other is really important. And that's something that Shachar, you have all sorts of tools that you work with people in your practice to help them. You know, I remember I called it you're really good at diffusing bombs in a room. you immediately see the bomb, and you know which wire is the red wire, and just diffuse it really fast. So I would love to ask you, Shach, how do you do it?
So if I go with your metaphor, the most important thing is to do it slowly. Meaning when you get together and it feels explosive, and the conversation might get explosive, it's really good to slow down, because fast we do what we're used to, and that might not end so well. So we slow down and we reconnect slowly, and we start with small gestures of turning towards each other, of looking at each other's eyes, or touching each other, or just offering some tea or a sandwich or whatever helps connect slowly. And remembering that after you've been apart, it takes time to synchronize the energy and, you know, be patient with yourself and forgiving to yourself and to your partner. And I wanted to add something about the time when you are distant. I think you kind of said it, but I think it's really about rituals of connection. When people live together and when they're apart, we need to have rituals of connections. We talked about date night. This is one deep ritual of connection, right? You spend a few hours of really quality time together. But it's good if we have every day a check-in. Hey, how are you? How was your day? What's happening tomorrow? Just making sure that we invest in the relationship daily, and that we kiss before we part, and we say hello when we come back together, and good night before we go to sleep, and good morning in the morning. In each moment of reconnection, it's good to have a small ritual.
Yeah, and one of the things we do, I think every day, is we thank each other for something. Like, we try really hard to never take things for granted. You know, Andrew does most of the cooking, but I make a point of thanking her every day. And if I take the trash out, you know, she thanks me for doing that. And it's something we tell our listeners, that because I think a very common trap as you progress through marriage is that you do take these things for granted and it's just expected. And then you start to feel like you're taken advantage of or you're put upon. So we, you know, it's a really simple, you know, there's no effort required to say thank you, but it can really mean a lot. Like, we both appreciate it, don't we?
Yeah. And I think having multiple kind of check-in points throughout the day, if it's possible, is even better. For us, you know, before, you know, all this stuff with COVID started happening, we were both getting up early, out at the office all day, and then we'd come home, reconnect. How was your day? You know, how did that thing go that you were concerned about at work? And, you know, we really invested in that. But now, working from home, both of us, we find that there's more opportunities for the day to do that. And it's actually really nice. In the morning, one of us will always ask, and we didn't talk about this, it just started happening, how did you sleep? And then that makes us realize, oh, if you had a bad night, maybe you need extra help. Maybe there's something I can do for you today. Or if you're not feeling well. And I don't know, it's just given us a more of an understanding of each other's day. Not that we're involved. I'm up in this room working all day. Rich is downstairs working all day. We pass throughout the day when it's coffee time and lunchtime and stuff like that. But it just gives you another opportunity to, okay, I know you had maybe a bad night's sleep or you didn't feel well in the night. And that means you might need, maybe I'll make your lunch for you today, or I'll bring you a cup of coffee, you know, half midway. And I think couples that are in that situation as well right now, probably a lot of married couples are, both working from home, that it's a better chance to find additional ways to connect that you normally wouldn't have the opportunity for. And it's one of the very few positive things I've found from this situation.
Yeah, we've also, well, the past 2 weeks, we've been going for a walk together every day.
So sometimes two.
Sometimes two. So that's an opportunity for us. We talk on those walks and we find we have different conversations because you're out of the house. You're not really thinking about the domestic responsibilities. You're not thinking about this needs to be done. And it's just a nice opportunity for us just to be outside and have different conversation and connect in a different way.
Yeah.
I love what you guys are saying. I got to say it again, you know, gratitude, that's so important. And especially for those little things that we take for granted, for taking out the trash and for going to work and for doing dishes. It really helps us see as human beings what's positive in our life, what's good. That's so healthy. And in a relationship, when you thank each other, I thank her and she thanks me and I thank her and she thanks me, it just creates this dynamic of generosity that is so easy to create and so easy not to pay attention to it. So yeah. It's yeah, really great.
It is. And I think just naturally started doing this. If like sometimes if I've had a really long day or whatever and I come home and I see Rich just clean the kitchen, I say, oh my gosh, I was dreading doing that. Thank you so much. And then he realizes, oh, she hates doing that, you know, after a long day. So now I know that if I want to do something nice or I've got an extra 10 minutes, if I go and do that, that's going to make a big difference in her day. Or
well, one of the really small things, I think, and I use this as an example on our Twitter account ages ago. Someone recommended to me that when you make coffee in the morning, you put hot water in your cup first. So the cup warms up. So then when you put your coffee in, it stays warmer. I thought, this is great. And so I started doing this in the mornings, and then there was sometimes Andrew was getting up before me and I'd come downstairs and there was a little cup with hot water in it, you know, from the kettle that she'd done. And it made such a...
I'm well trained.
it really had a big impact on me. It's like, you know, she kind of was about the favourite knives. It's like it shows she was paying attention. She's done something that was very small. You know, it was seconds out of her day to do it, but it meant more to me than it took her to do, if you know what I mean. And I think that's a really good example of something really small that can have a really big impact on the other person.
Well, it's like you said at the beginning, Jahar, that it's little things,
yeah,
over time, always back and forth. And I found out his little thing is a warmed mug, and it takes 5 seconds out of my day. I'm already making the coffee so that when he comes down, it's warm and puts your day off to a really good start, apparently.
Yeah. Beautiful, beautiful. I also love the walking together idea that you guys had, especially now in lockdown. We're in Israel, Ziv and I, and we have a strong lockdown these days. And taking that's super challenging for a family, for parents. Lockdown is actually really hard for a romantic relationship. You know, we spend too much time together and not a very romantic time, and we take care of the kids and there's too many demands, and we end the day, we're just exhausted. And something about taking a walk together, you know, it's good for our bodies to move the blood. It's a tiny date. Yeah, it's a tiny date that we have there during the walk. The kids stay at home. You know, it's a good time together. And it's also something that we can do when we're long distance, you know, with a phone call while walking. Absolutely. Walking together for long distance, that works really well as well.
Yeah. So what do you think about, going back to the business for a second, do you think there's any correlation between business and marriage?
Yes, that's the short answer. First of all, there are proof. There were researches done that happily married people actually they live longer and they make more money in a significant proven way. These researches, we actually have some quotes from the original research on our website on the Generous Marriage podcast.
I think they make 30% more.
But you need to keep the relationship a healthy relationship, which is, you know, what we're struggling with and what we're researching. On a personal level, I can say that my business has really reached like this ceiling on top of them, where they all can only make that much money in a year for a few years. And I just tried all sorts of things. I'm a pretty clever cookie. I've learned marketing in all sorts of ways, and nothing seems to budge until I figured out that I need to repair my marriage. We were high school sweethearts, like a couple. We got married at age 24, after 7 years of being in a relationship together. And like, we're now, I'm now 42. My wife is older than I am. She's like 42 and a half. And she keeps reminding me that she's older and wiser as a result. So, but she's right. And all these years have recreated some erosion of like the connection bank. Was running low on resources, and I didn't put in my, I didn't prioritize a well-balanced lifestyle. And as a result, my business was my source of emotional comfort. So I was looking for appreciation in the wrong places. And because that was like the main source of appreciation that I got, I put all my energy into it, and it didn't work because I was trying to get my business to be like a machine that creates appreciation. And that's not a business should not do that. The business actually should be focused on providing value to people. And if all you're focusing about is yourself as the business owner, that shows actually, and you miss all sorts of huge holes in your business where water is leaking out, and you're like canoeing in your business and trying to travel with it to all sorts of places, but just water constantly comes in and you're being slowed down. And it's the little things matter most. So for example, if you walked late, let's say you walked till 2 a.m. On some new sales page or whatnot, and you're so proud of putting in the extra hours and you go to sleep, but when you wake up, that frown face by your partner, by your wife, that says, oh, you're late in waking up again. And like, I did everything by myself by now with the kids and, I don't know, sending them to school. And yeah, good job, right? So this type of frown face and all the subliminal messages in it really slows down your decision-making on your business. It's just, you make bad choices when you start the day that way. And this moment happens multiple times in a day. At some point, inside of your head, you start to question yourself, is it really worth it to make one more decision in my business? Is it really worth it to do one more email, to write another marketing piece? Is it really worth it to find a new graphic designer? Why am I making all these efforts for who? For a person that doesn't even appreciate what I do and constantly criticize me? But actually, all this criticism is a signal of a need that is unmet. And that if you would look for this, for the signals and not be personally triggered so much by it, you can in time learn how to fulfill those needs and be generous with your partner needs and understand how they feel loved and what are their feelings even, and clear out all the air, like Shachar mentioned, like slowly defusing the bomb. And all that leads to you being able to, you know, withdraw from the bank account of your connection, because you can then later, once the bank account is full, you can then go into the relationship and say, here's a need of mine that I need your help with. So it's basically, once the bank account is starting to fill up, you have two people working as partners, trying to achieve one goal. And once you get there, you suddenly don't need appreciation from your business or to fulfill your emotional ego-centered needs. You make decisions for your business and you're proud of making it grow, because the people around you are supportive and they want you to be successful and believe in you. So it just changes the dynamic. For me personally, it worked like charms, but of course I'm not the only one. And as a coach, it is something that helps many of my clients to just focus on repairing the relationship or maintaining the relationship or reconnecting. And in parallel, and learning more about what can help their business grow.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
Yeah, that makes total sense. I think what you really touched on there that is really important with so many people who are maybe starting up a big project, like a business, is you, like you said, you were kind of getting all of almost your validation out of that. And if you weren't getting everything you needed, then you were feeling like you were lacking. And I think that's so important, where if you have a happy relationship where you are finding that balance that we talked about earlier, it's almost like your relationship is a safe place you can go to actually think, no, like there's more to my life than just this business, this project, this thing I'm working on. And it helps give you that balance. And I think that's something we've found recently as well. I mean, Rich has started his own business, and while it hasn't changed our relationship, there's certain things probably that he's realized when he needs to take a step back, when he's getting too obsessed on something. Also, I see where I need to give more support and maybe say, hey, you're working too hard. Let's have a quiet night tonight, pull away from that. And even though it's not my business, it's his project, I still feel really involved because I'm invested in his well-being. And I know that for him to do well with that, things need to be good with us, and I need to do my part too. So you're right. It's a team. Like you said, there's two people working together, and two heads are always better than one, the way I see it. So you got to be in sync.
Yeah, beautiful.
So where can people find more about you guys? With the Generous Marriage Podcast, are there any other things you want to plug?
I think the best place is to go to generousmarriage.com, because over there we have free resources. We have the podcast itself, and on each podcast there's a unique, very well-crafted tool in the form of a PDF usually, where people can learn deeply the tool that was discussed on that episode. We also have on generousmarriage.com all sorts of free videos on our webinars page and online courses that are designed to help you achieve some specific, overcome some specific problem in your relationships. For example, how to repair trust in a relationship, or how to, as a couple, reconnect over a weekend of a pre-recorded couples retreat, like a couples therapy workshop. And even stuff more juicy, like related to sex and everything in between. So, like we're constantly growing in providing additional tools and more specific tools on there. So,
I have one last question from the female perspective. So, yes, in terms of your tools and the resources that you have, so, you know, at the very beginning, we talked about how, you know, men maybe aren't so finely tuned, haven't been taught or haven't learned how to be in touch with their emotions. For any maybe female partners that they're listening, really wanting to show their husband or boyfriend kind of how to start. And, you know, I think we all think we can make him be more sensitive, or we can make him get in tuned, but it sounds like that's something that a man needs to do himself and learn. Which of your tools or resources would you suggest is the first or the best first step for a man to look at to kind of start getting in touch with that?
I will answer this a bit differently. Okay. As a woman, if you want your husband to change, the best way to create positive change is to celebrate his successes, celebrate what you want to happen. That works so much better, so much more effective than complaining or criticizing what you don't like about him or what he doesn't do. You know, when you criticize someone, they just get defensive. When you celebrate and appreciate how well they were attuned, how well they were present, how amazing it is when he comes back from work early, these are the kinds of things that will make him do more of that.
I would just add to that one quick tip, and that is that in a very generalizing manner, men are more single focused. That's how their brain is made up, with a lot of testosterone. And as a result, they literally are bad at like grasping two things at the same time. So I think that just by being generous and patient with men, that and knowing that, yes, while they're like looking at the phone or doing any single thing that they're doing, they don't hear you. They literally don't hear you. And as a result, it's always better to just say clearly, you know, celebrate their successes first, but also say clearly, what are your needs? Because they will appreciate it and they will want to fulfill your needs if they will understand them.
Perfect. Yeah. This Zoom clock is really stressful. I can see it ticking down. So I think we're going to cut off any minute. So if we do, thank you guys so much. I think that's really, really helpful stuff for our listeners across the board. So
generousmarriage.com. We'll include a link in the show notes, of course. And thank you guys so much for joining us. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Thanks. Thank you for having us. This was really fun.
Of course. Yeah. Take care and stay safe.
Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.